For Maria. Introduction. Dead tired and losing my voice, I decided to make a quick call before lying down for the first time in more than 24 hours. The phone rang once, and then it rang a second time. I expected it would go to voicemail. It was 7:30 a.m. on November 6th, 2024, the morning after the election. I had been up all night tracking the results live for ABC News and had just gotten back to my hotel room after discussing Donald Trump's victory on Good Morning America. A historic victory, and one I had not seen coming. I had spent much of the previous 4 years reporting on Trump's efforts to overturn the last election, his lonely exit from the White House, his legal travails, and the dire warnings from so many people who had been close to him about what would happen if he ever returned to power. And now, despite it all, Trump had won, and won big. By any objective measure, his victory was stunning. He swept all 7 battleground states. He made inroads into some of the most reliably Democratic cities in America, San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and performed better with non-white voters than any Republican presidential candidate in decades. It wasn't a landslide. His margin of victory in the Electoral College ranked 44th out of 60 total U.S. presidential elections. That's well behind Ronald Reagan's in 1980 and 1984, and Barack Obama's in 2008. But he had achieved something no Republican presidential candidate had in 2 decades. He won the popular vote. With Trump now heading back to the White House, I figured I would call him and leave him a voicemail message acknowledging his win and congratulating him on his victory. Thanks to American democracy, the man that I had described as a threat to American democracy would soon be the 47th president of the United States. The phone rang a third time. I've covered every presidential election since 1992, and never before had it occurred to me to call a president-elect hours after the votes were tallied. But Trump and I had been talking quite regularly during the final months of the campaign. In fact, we had talked the previous afternoon on Election Day. The ever-confident Trump had seemed uncharacteristically unsure about the outcome. "I don't know. I can't read it." That was a few hours after he had voted and before the first votes were counted. "We have a lot of enthusiasm, but I cannot read it, and I don't think anybody can read it." I had made my first call to Trump's cell phone in July, the morning after a would-be assassin had tried to kill him in Butler, Pennsylvania. By the time the fall campaign was underway, I was talking to him every few days. Our relationship had grown quite contentious in recent years. He'd labeled me a third-rate reporter and called me, quote, a real scumbag, and he declared, "You will never make it." But as Election Day approached, he almost always answered my calls, especially early in the morning or late at night. If he didn't pick up, I would leave a message, and occasionally he would call me back. I had also spoken to Hunter Biden on Election Day. "The stakes are so incredibly high," he told me. The stakes were high for the country, of course, but also high for Hunter himself. He had already been convicted on gun charges and pleaded guilty to tax evasion. He would likely be sentenced to prison before the end of the year. A Trump victory could very well unleash on his family a Justice Department hell-bent on retribution and annihilate his father's legacy. Joe Biden launched his successful campaign for president in 2019, a fight for what he called the soul of this nation. While Biden was no longer on the ballot, a Trump return to the White House would mean that Biden had fully lost that fight and lost it badly. The 81-year-old man's decision to run for re-election in the first place was already considered a catastrophic error by Democrats across the country. Even so, I told Hunter that I thought the stakes were higher for Trump. If he won the election, he would become one of the most powerful presidents in American history and set the direction for the Republican Party and possibly the country for a generation. If he lost, he could spend the rest of his life trying to stay out of prison. "I sure hope it's the latter," Hunter said with a nervous laugh. The phone rang a fourth time.
Hello.